In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to see me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength from his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
When you were in elementary school, did you have show and tell? I don't know if they still do it in elementary school, but there would be a day where you got to bring something special to you to share with your class. And I can remember when it was my turn, I was so excited to get to share with my class this thing. I don't remember what the thing was, but I remember that I was excited to share this with them, to show them this thing that was special to me. I also remember there were times when someone would come and they would share their special thing that they were so excited about, and I was like, "That's what you brought to show and tell? Really? Of all the things you could have brought, that's it?" And I wonder if maybe when I was excited about the thing that I was going to bring, maybe there were those who kind of thought the same thing. "That's what you brought? Really?" I wonder, how many times have we been overwhelmed with excitement and joy as we anticipate sharing something with someone else? And how many times have we been overwhelmed with other feelings? Overwhelmed with there's too much to do. Overwhelmed with I just can't deal right now. There's so much stuff that I'm burdened with. I can't take anything else. I wonder, as we live into this Advent season, as the stories of the season have changed from the prophets of the Old Testament and the beginning of creation with God hovering over the emptiness, into the prophets of the Old Testament talking about there's going to be a time when God judges us because we haven't been doing what we need to do, to the prophet of the New Testament, who we heard last week call people to repent and also call them a brood of vipers, a group of snakes coming out to hear him. But I wonder what Mary might have been overwhelmed with as we hear her story. I wonder, was she overwhelmed with the emotions of those around her? The whispers, the rumors, the talking? Was she overwhelmed with the joy that she is going to have a son? And we talked about last week that the third Sunday of Advent is a joyful Sunday. The theme is joy, but I also think that as we live all of the Sundays of Advent, as well as Christmas and any other Sunday, any other day, that we should have a focus on joy. Some of us may have had some joy as we saw our kids walk down the center aisle and we saw them standing up here being one of the characters in the story of Christmas. Some of us may have lost our joy as we saw the straw get strewn all over the place. Some of us may have felt joy as we heard the choir sing the songs of the season. We may have felt joy as we shared our gift of music with the congregation this morning. Some of us may remember a Christmas past, a Christmas with a parent or a grandparent, as we may have sung some of these songs with them. And it brought back this memory of a different time, maybe a simpler time. Maybe memories were brought back as we heard Elizabeth proclaiming to Mary how blessed she is and hearing Mary talk about what God was going to do. Mary, who was probably barely older than some of our junior high girls, was engaged to a man in her community, and an angel Gabriel comes and speaks to her and says, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." If you have kids, and your kids come into the room where you are, and they come up and say, "Hey, Dad, you're just awesome. I haven't told you that lately. You're just such a good dad." Red light should be going off in our heads, right? They want something. Something's up. This angel's talking to Mary. Number one, an angel is talking to Mary. I think we gloss over that. An angel came to Mary and spoke to her. And then he gives these words: "You are a favored woman. God is with you." And then he says, what most angels say, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God, and you will have a baby." Mary has a story to tell. As we talked about in our Sunday school class, it's so unbelievable that we have to believe it. You can't make this stuff up. Mary has a story to tell, but not everybody believed her. She was labeled. She was talked about. She was probably shunned. She took hit after hit after agreeing to something God said was a good thing. And then she visits her cousin. Maybe we bear some weight this morning. That hit after hit has come because we've tried to do what God wanted us to do, but people have misunderstood it. People have not received it the right way. And we cry out, "Lord, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to do life the right way, but one thing after another has me losing hope. It has me losing joy. It has me losing faith." Maybe you feel alone. Maybe we're not feeling the presence of God, the comfort of God. But Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who she is told is going to have a child as well. She's older than Mary, and she hasn't been able to have children. And she travels to see this cousin. And as she approaches, as she gets to the home, she's greeted by a Holy Spirit-filled Elizabeth. Elizabeth's words brought forth a song from Mary. That's a dangerous song. song. A song of hope and hopelessness. A song about faith in the midst of trials. It's an overturning of the status quo song. Mary's Magnificat, what we read today, might be one of the most famous songs in Christianity. It's been whispered in monasteries. It's been chanted in cathedrals. It's been recited in small, remote churches by evening candlelight. And it's even been set to music of trumpets and kettle drums by Johann Sebastian Bach. But Mary's song was a breaking in of hope in the midst of hopelessness. 30 weeks before Bethlehem, 30 plus years before Calvary and Easter, it's a song that if rhythm and beats matter to us, we would probably twirl and swing, we would clap and stammer, at the very least, we would tap our foot. It's a song about God, and it's a song about revelation, and a song about revolution. And it's all because Jesus, though only conceived, not yet born, had caused Elizabeth's child to leap for joy in her womb. When the German priest Martin Luther translated the Bible from Latin into German, he left Mary's song in Latin. Because the German princes took a very dim view of what Mary has sung about. And similarly, when Thomas Cranmer, a leader of the English Reformation, when he translated the Latin liturgical hymn books into English, he left this song in Latin because the royals didn't care for what it said. A reminder of what Mary said. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. If you're a king or a prince, you don't want the people to be reciting a scripture passage about the prince being taken down from the throne. You don't want them to get this idea in their head that the humble will be brought high and the high will be brought low. But Mary was talking about overturning things, overturning how things are done. It was revolutionary, but it was also joyful. Like the shepherds who had to see what the angels were talking about, and then they left to tell others what they had heard. They had been shown something and they went to tell others about it. The wise men who saw something in the sky and it drew them away from their homes to find this thing they were looking for, this newborn king. They were brought and they were shown Jesus. And then they went and they told others about it. And like so many encounters that Jesus had with people throughout his life, they came to see what was going on, and then they went and they told others because they couldn't help but let other people know what had happened. And there were many times Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this. And the gospel writers are very specific. Jesus said, don't tell anyone. The people went and told everyone. Do we do that? Do we gather together as the church to see what God is doing? And then do we go and we tell the world the good news of what God is doing? Maybe this morning you just came to hear the choir. Maybe you just came to see your child walk down the aisle or your grandchild walk down the aisle in their costume to represent the Christmas story in our midst this morning. Maybe we came to find hope because this season we're finding ourselves not to have much hope. Maybe we're overwhelmed Mary's song and in Mary's story that can only come from God. Maybe we can be reminded of His presence with us. That we can remember that He is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Through the good times as well as the bad times. And as we leave this place, might we take something with us? Something to tell others about. In just a moment, we're going to sing "Away in a Manger." And as we sing, I'm going to invite you to bring your walk to the manger gift, that end of your gift that many of you are accustomed to bringing. And we're going to have a manger here, and I'm going to ask you to put that in the manger, and I'll ask you to spend some time in prayer at our altar rails. As we gather as the people of God, are we seeing something that we need to go tell the world about? Are we gathering together and something's happening that someone out there needs to know about? I invite you to do that first. And then I invite you to maybe come and maybe you didn't bring an offering, but maybe you need to put something in the manger that you didn't carry. Maybe you've been carrying pain too long. And it just is not letting you get past pain. Maybe you need to come and maybe you need to wad up an offering envelope and throw it in the manger. That's fine. Whatever you need to do to show something to yourself that you're putting something in it and you're leaving it. Pain, hurt, disappointment. Something that's just gone wrong and you feel like you have any control anymore. Release it. Release it and leave it. And live the season of Advent of waiting and preparing and following God. As maybe, just maybe, you find joy after you have released that faith. Maybe you just need to come and you need to spend some time at the altar rails asking God to bring back joy. For others of us, we have joy. We express it, but we don't know what to do with it. So I'll challenge you to pray that an opportunity will happen this week for you to tell someone why you have joy. That you will have an opportunity to tell someone about what God has done or what God is doing in your life. And that God will also give you the words to speak to that person who's asking, who's seeking, who's wondering what you have that they don't. That God gives you words to proclaim what you have seen so that you can tell. With our words and with our actions, with our lives, we need to join Mary in her song of joy and of hope, of revolution and revelation and of upending the normal. We need to sing it in our own way. With our gifts and our graces so that others can hear it and respond to it and begin to join in the chorus of what God is leading us into. So I'll ask you this morning if you would stand as we prepare to sing "Away in a Manger." I invite you to begin to play.